Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Thank you so much for allowing WKAR's Current Sports to be a part of your Friday afternoon. That's right, we're back on the airwaves after a one-day hiatus. Of course, we were bumped, preempted yesterday due to WKAR's continuing coverage of the President Donald Trump impeachment hearings.
Wrong.
And there was there was actually a chance that we were going to get bumped today, but thank goodness that didn't happen. I mean, either way, we were at least going to, or at least plan to do at least a Facebook Live show at this time. So it feels so good to be back in this chair addressing you all. We've got a lot to get to on today's show. A lot I want to talk about, a lot I want to touch on. I want to preview a bit of the weekend that will be in the world of local sports as the Michigan State men's basketball team will actually be traveling to Little Caesars Arena on Saturday to take on Grant Campy and the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. Tom Izzo and his Spartans are trying to get better. That's just the goal right now, to try and find chemistry and try to see if there are some young pups on this team that can take that next level and mature fast. Because I think we are all in agreement that this squad right now needs some names other than Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman to step up. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. This will be an ideal game to make those kind of strides. No offense to Oakland, but Michigan State men's basketball is one of the blue blood programs in the nation, and this is a type of matchup that you would expect Michigan State to develop some chemistry in. So we'll touch on that. Also, I want to comment on what Lamar Jackson is doing in the National Football League right now, because I mean, what we're seeing is truly special. You know, I thought that when I looked at what Patrick Mahomes was doing in the National Football League, that I don't think it could have been rivaled by any other quarterback in the league. Historical numbers that Mahomes was throwing up, but Lamar Jackson is giving him a good run for his money right now. Lamar Jackson, he broke a long-time record that was held by the great Michael Vick during Vick's playing days with the Atlanta Falcons. That record, you ask? Well, that was the single-season rushing record for a quarterback, a record that many thought would never be broken. Well, Lamar Jackson broke that record yesterday, and we still got a long NFL season left. Well, I shouldn't say a long NFL season left. We still have a lot of football left to play, I should say. I mean, we haven't even hit the playoffs yet. And Lamar Jackson, 5 touchdowns last night against the New York Jets, already broke Michael Vick's single season rush record. So I want to put in perspective just how amazing this season has been and continues to be for the man that Mark Ingram calls, I think it's L Boogie, something like that, or Nasty L, something like that. It's, you know, and shout out to Mark Ingram, you know, the Flint native who went on to ball out at Alabama, a Heisman Trophy winning running back, and has had a pretty good and pretty long career in the National Football League. He is like the ultimate hype man. He's like how Flavor Flav was back in the day. I mean, the ultimate hype man during a concert, giving Lamar Jackson all the praise in the world. I love that. I love Mark Ingram and all of the energy that he's brought when it comes to encouraging his quarterback. Awesome, awesome stuff. All right, so we'll have some chatter on Lamar Jackson, but we've got not one but two guests that will join me on this hour of Courage Sports. Max Bichelle of Gambling.com. He is Gambling.com's Group VP of Business, located out in New York City. We are going to have Max on the show because I don't know if you guys heard, but we are one step closer to seeing legalized sports gambling here in the state of Michigan. How about that? As Michigan's legislature voted to legalize sports betting and internet gambling. So Max is going to join us live here on Courage Sports to iron out the details of that story. And he'll tell us how this whole thing will work here in the state of Michigan. We knew it was coming. We knew it was on the horizon. And we are very close for it. We are very close, when it comes to it being really real for all of you sports fans out there. And then on the back end of the show, we'll take you on home and usher you into the weekend with a chat with Ron DeLeon of Ron DeLeon Promotions. He is the local fight promoter in the greater Lansing area. He's got an event coming to the Lansing Center tomorrow night that you definitely want to hear about. So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's keep it pushing. Here are your Courage Sports quick hit headliners. Let's start here, folks. In some Spartan fans' eyes, MSU men's basketball, when it comes to the start for that squad, it hasn't been ideal. Losses to Kentucky, Virginia Tech, and Duke. Number 16th ranked Michigan State looking to shake off some tweaks before the second half of the year. Following a commanding 77-65 victory over Rutgers this past weekend, the Spartans look forward to traveling an hour and some change to face Oakland University tomorrow at noon. MSU would be without young guard Mark Rocket Watts, who was seen in a boot at the Rutgers game. Tom Izzo said that Watts sustained a stress reaction in his lower left leg, and it's possible that Watts returns to action next week, Wednesday, against Northwestern. But the team will play it safe as he recovers. So Watts, he actually started the first 8 games of the season, averaging almost 7 points a game in 22 minutes. Izzo said that his shooting struggles in the early going, shooting just 20% from 3-point range in 8 games, appeared to be a result of the pain he was experiencing in his leg while trying to play through an injury. Let's hope so, right? Because Mark has not shot well for the Spartans, but we'll see what happens when he does return from this minor injury setback. All right, but Michigan State and Oakland tomorrow at noon at Little Caesars Arena. All right, the number 19th ranked Michigan State women's basketball team is one game away from the Sunshine Challenge in Orlando, Florida, where Susie Merchant's troops will face Syracuse in West Virginia next weekend. But until then, they get to face Morehead State on Sunday at 1 p.m. inside of the Breslin Center. This is the first game in a week when last Thursday they fell to number 8 ranked Florida State in what was the second loss of the season for the program, both coming to ranked opponents. Susie Merchant's squad looking to keep up the intensity throughout the whole game. Nia Clouden scored 22 points and had 8 assists in that matchup. Shea Colley had 11 points for the Spartans. Michigan State also forced 20 turnovers, capitalizing with 22 points on those turnovers. But they did fall, and they are hoping to rebound from that loss. All right, Kenny Willekes, salute to Kenny Willekes. He has really been a ray of sunshine in an otherwise cloudy Michigan State football year. But the fifth-year senior defensive end, he has been named to the Walter Camp All-American second team. The Walter Camp Football Foundation made that announcement yesterday. He is the first Spartan to earn All-American accolades twice by the Walter Camp Foundation since Shalique Calhoun did so in the, earning second team honors from 2013 to 2015. The Walter Camp honor caps a really remarkable week for Willekes as he won the 2019 Burlsworth Trophy on Monday out in Arkansas. The Burlsworth Trophy, that's awarded annually to the nation's most outstanding player who began his career as a walk-on. He was also named a semifinalist for the Lombardi Award on Wednesday by the Lombardi Foundation. So he's a chemistry major. He earned a scholarship in the spring of 2017. He has not looked back since. He entered the program as a walk-on linebacker in 2015 and has emerged as one of the top pass rushers in the nation during his career. So salute to Kenny Willekes. Quite the MSU career for him. All right, MSU hockey is also in action this weekend as the 18th-ranked Spartans. They have had a decent start to the year, an 8-7-1 overall record with a 6-3-1 record in the Big Ten Conference. They have their work cut out, though, as they face Arizona State in the last series before Christmas break begins. Michigan State is coming off a sweep of Wisconsin last weekend that moved the Spartans to 6-3-1 in the Big Ten and tied for the second place spot with Ohio State, 19 points, 2 behind conference-leading Penn State. So the Spartans, they killed all 7 Badger power plays last weekend and haven't allowed a goal on the man advantage in 7 of the last 8 games, extinguishing 24 of 26 opponent power plays over that span. In Big Ten play, MSU leads the conference in penalty kill percentage at 906. Pretty impressive stuff. So Danton Cole's team, again, playing host to Arizona State this weekend at Munice Arena. And the puck drop for tonight's action will take place at 7 p.m. So we'll see if Michigan State can get the dub tonight over Arizona State and into the weekend. And the Lions, yes, they are still a part of our headliners because we have to put them in there. But the Detroit Lions, they do play football, if that's what you want to call it, this weekend. They will take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as Jameis Winston comes to town to play at Ford Field. Jameis Winston hasn't been great this season. He has thrown 26 TDs, 23 interceptions, and has a 61% completion percentage. The Lions defense should be foaming at the mouth hearing those statistics and will hope to take advantage of a Mike Evans-less team as that wide receiver is out for the season with a hamstring injury. The kickoff time for that one is at 1 p.m. So the Lions at this point are only just contenders in the Chase Young sweepstakes. Or maybe they get a quarterback. Who knows? So we'll see if the Honolulu Blue can end up with that number one overall spot. I'm sure many Lions fans out there are rooting for a ton of losses as the season rolls along for that team to up that draft stock. All right, and as I mentioned, Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, he has established a new standard for running quarterbacks. On Thursday night, he broke the longtime standing Michael Vick single season rush record for a quarterback. And Michael Vick actually congratulated him in a really cool video after accomplishing that feat. And also Tom Brady, the GOAT quarterback for the New England Patriots. He also gave Lamar Jackson a shout out using his blazing speed to hit the edges. Jackson broke Vick's single season rush record marked by a QB on the opening drive of that 42-21 route of heavy underdog, the New York Jets, last night. Jackson, the electric dual threat quarterback and NFL most valuable player front runner, he eclipsed his childhood idol with 8 minutes and 36 seconds left in the first quarter when he faked a handoff to running back Mark Ingram and ran for a hard-fought 5 yards. About 30 minutes after Jackson broke the record, another quarterback chimed in. Again, that being Tom Brady, who has won 6 Super Bowls on the strength of his throwing. He issued a tongue-in-cheek showdown with Jackson on Twitter. I love this tweet. This is what Brady had to say on his Twitter last night. Quote, me versus Lamar, 40-yard dash on natural grass, but he has to wear rollerblades. Who's buying the pay-per-view? I love that. That is awesome, awesome stuff. More on that accomplishment for Lamar Jackson in just a moment. Also want to note that the Detroit Pistons, they fell to the Dallas Mavericks last night, 122-111, out at Mexico City Arena. Luka Doncic, he was the top attraction on Thursday night as the Detroit Pistons played the antagonist role for the NBA superstar. And Doncic was 6-13 from three-point range, giving the energetic crowd the first triple-double in the 28 games played in Mexico City. His scoring night was also a high for Mexican NBA games. Really cool watching him address the crowd in Spanish. And then Blake Griffin grabbed the mic and just say, Hola, Mexico.
I was just about to comment on that. That was so funny. And then one thing I noticed was Blake Griffin, as soon as Luka started addressing the crowd in Spanish, he looked over to Luka like, really, dude, are you really about to show me up like this?
Exactly. He couldn't top that. I mean, he doesn't know Spanish. So we know some, I guess. Hola. Hola.
That's about how much I know, too.
That's what I was saying left and right when I was out in Puerto Rico. Left and right. When I was out there for that 4 or 5 day span with my fraternity brothers, that's their language, and all I could say was, hola, no habla inglés, or español, excuse me. I know English. Oh, my goodness. I just said no habla. I don't know English. Why do I have this job? I don't know English. No habla español. It's been a long week, folks, okay? Oh, boy, that was pretty funny. You could probably use that as a drop, Alec.
Oh, of course.
Me saying no habla English. Oh, that was pretty funny. All right. And the Detroit Red Wings, they snapped that horrendous 12-game losing streak as they defeated the Winnipeg Jets 5-2 last night at Little Caesars Arena. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, we've got a great show coming your way as we proceed here on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. In a little over 10 minutes, Max Bischel of gambling.com will join us to talk about legalized sports betting here in this state. And then Ron DeLeon of Ron DeLeon Promotions will talk about a pretty big event coming to the Lansing Center tomorrow night as Ron DeLeon Promotions brings you more fight action here in the greater Lansing area. Awesome stuff. All right, here we go. little Catronata on this Friday. Catronata, one of my favorite R&B and hip-hop producers out there. He dropped his new album today. So that's a little taste of that on this December 13th, 2019. And intermixed with that was, of course, a bit of what Lamar Jackson did last night. Was that fun to watch? It's always fun to watch Lamar Jackson. But that was particularly fun to watch last night because, you know, Lamar Jackson made history last night becoming the all-time NFL single-season rushing champ for a quarterback. That's an honor that was previously bestowed upon on Michael Vick. And I don't know if you guys saw the video last night. Somebody was recording the moment on a cell phone as Michael Vick watched, and it goes from the TV when Lamar Jackson officially becomes the new record holder of that accomplishment to Michael Vick sitting down saying, "Lamar, salute to you, my man. You're doing it. You're holding it down." Again, I'm paraphrasing here. I don't remember what Michael Vick exactly said. I can't remember word for word. But he congratulated Lamar Jackson. The two hold a relationship. You know, that's also really cool to see. You know, he has talked with Lamar on multiple occasions. I guess the two are pretty close. And even after the game with Lamar, you know, it's just such a different competitive world that we live in when it comes to professional sports now. Because I don't know if you guys saw, but Lamar Jackson accomplishing this feat, like the new cool thing to do in the league, and you see this a lot in basketball as well, but more so in football, is to exchange jerseys among players, you know, who you're competing against. If you're friends, if you're homies with that player, you exchange jerseys as a sign of respect. And I don't know if you guys saw in the case of Odell Beckham Jr. of the Cleveland Browns, the famed Cleveland Browns wide receiving great, formerly of the New York Giants. He's been doing this for years. He has like a collection of all of the players he's jersey swapped with over the course of his NFL career. And he showed it on his social media page, and he has jerseys lined in his crib all on the walls. It's pretty awesome to see. You know, it's a really cool sign of respect. But I don't know if I'm the New York Jets and I've been having the season that I've had and I get my tail whooped on national TV by Lamar Jackson, I don't know if I'm swapping jerseys with him. I'm just built different. Al Martin wouldn't be sitting there swapping jerseys with a guy who just kicked my tail, especially when you look at the overall season for the Jets and how they've played. But hey, it's a brave new world, I guess. And Lamar Jackson came prepared. He knew that he was going to swap his jersey with somebody on the Jets team. I guess he's got a lot of friends on that squad. So he brought extra Lamar Jackson number 8 jerseys to sign and give away. It's like the New York Jets were just like, you know, fans lining the field trying to get Lamar to autograph something, and they were just sitting there like, you know, little kids waiting. "Hey, Lamar, I want a jersey. Can you sign that jersey?" It's just weird to me. I don't know. Does anybody else think that's weird to do? I don't know. Brave new world. It's a new thing in the NFL now. And these guys are all friends. They're all buddies, and they respect each other. So I guess it's cool. But I don't know. I'm old school, man. You know, I may be 29 years old, but I have like the mentality of like a 50-year-old. I feel like I should have been born in the 80s sometime. All right. I want to put in perspective, though, just how good Lamar Jackson is, because I really believe that, you know, we you know, occasionally in professional sports, we see an athlete or athletes who really transcend the game. And we did see it with Michael Vick. You know, Michael Vick was like the poster child, the poster boy of dual threat quarterbacks during his heyday. We had never really seen a quarterback with a crazy strong arm, a cannon for an arm, who had this lightning, blazing fast speed with his legs. We had never seen that before. I mean, Michael Vick was from planet Pluto. But, you know, and you can equate this to other sports as well, like Tiger Woods. He's a once-in-a-generation kind of talent. You know, Tiger Woods, we had never seen an African-American golfer do what Tiger Woods did on the links. Control the shot the way he did. That type of creativity. That kind of short game. That kind of yardage off the tee. Tiger Woods was hitting the gym and benching 300 pounds and then going to the golf course and just knocking it and blasting it off the tee. He transcended and inspired a generation that he now, to this day, competes against. Also, shout out to the President's Cup. The U.S. had a good rally to end day two. Tiger's not playing in day three out in Australia right now, but they are behind the international team heading into day three, 6.5, 3.5. But that's just a sidebar. Going back to my point here, there are transcendent talents that come around in pro sports that inspire generations after. And Lamar Jackson is a product of Michael Vick. So to break that record and to pay homage to Vick was pretty cool, is pretty cool to see. And I really believe that Lamar Jackson now doing this is going to inspire other quarterbacks who are coming up, who may be in elementary school or high school right now, to do the same. And the game may change. You know, you may see teams out there in the National Football League searching for the next Lamar Jackson. Patrick Mahomes is the same way. You know, and these two talk about how Michael Vick was one of their idols growing up, one of their football idols. They try to pattern their game after Michael Vick, after seeing what he did on the gridiron. And what I love about it, personally for me as an African-American who has been having this conversation in barbershops for years, you know, the stigma that comes around when discussing black quarterbacks, that black quarterbacks can't thrive in the National Football League with arm power, that black quarterbacks are athletes, and when they, you know, especially if they played the position in college like Lamar Jackson did, because there was chatter when Lamar Jackson had the career that he had at Louisville, we all saw how athletic that he was, that when he got to the National Football League, maybe we should try Lamar Jackson out at wide receiver. Maybe we should try Lamar Jackson out at running back. There's a stigma that comes with black quarterbacks, so it's so cool to see Lamar Jackson not just doing it with the wheels, but also doing it with the cannon. That is his arm. He is incredibly accurate. And before I hit this final break, I do want to usher along a few statistics that put in perspective just how good Lamar Jackson has been, both with his feet and his arm this season. Check this. He has more touchdowns. These are crazy statistics here. He has more touchdowns than the Ravens punter has punts. Jackson has 40 total touchdowns this season, 33 passing, and 7 rushing. Ravens punter Sam Cox has 35 punts on the year. Wow. That showcases just how dominant this Ravens offense has been and just how dominant Lamar Jackson has been. Lamar Jackson is the first player in NFL history to have 5 passing TDs and 50-plus rushing yards in multiple games this season. Lamar Jackson is only one other quarterback has done this, in addition to Lamar Jackson, I should say. 5 TDs, 0 interceptions in multiple games in a season. The only other player to have 3 games with 5 passing TDs and no INTs in a season is New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who did it during his 50-touchdown season in 07. Also, 7 career games with 50-plus rushing yards and multiple pass touchdowns for Lamar Jackson. Jackson has done this more times in the last 2 weeks than every quarterback in the league's 100-year history. Jackson has thrown 5 TD passes and rushed for 80-plus yards twice in the last 4 weeks. In the history of the NFL, it's something that only one other quarterback has accomplished, that being Cam Newton, and he did it just once. Jackson, the first quarterback to throw for 30-plus TDs and run for 1,000 plus yards in the season. Lamar Jackson averaging one TD per 87.5 passing yards. That's the highest rate since Y.A. Tittle did it back in 1963. Also, Lamar Jackson, his touchdown pass rate of one every 8.9 passes is the highest in the NFL since 2011 and the fourth highest this century. He is the first quarterback to rank among top five in rushing for a season, if it ended today. And he has the Ravens franchise record for touchdown passes in a season. Enjoy what you're watching, folks. Enjoy what you're watching, because what you're watching is of historical proportions. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk sports gambling here in the state of Michigan with Max Bichelle of gambling.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports, Max Bichelle, who is gambling.com's group VP of U.S. business out in New York City. Folks, I don't know if you guys heard, but Michigan's legislature has voted to legalize sports betting and internet gambling. If you remember, the federal ban was lifted by the Supreme Court in 2018. The bills approved Wednesday will expand options for gamblers in a state here in Michigan with three commercial casinos in Detroit and also two dozen tribal casinos elsewhere. Michigan will become the 20th state to authorize sports wagers and the fifth to allow casino-style games to be played online. And read this today. Sports betting here in Michigan could be in place just in time for one of the biggest gambling events in our nation's history. That being college basketball and March Madness. Unbelievable. So right now we welcome Max Bichelle of gambling.com. Max, thank you so much for your time. Happy Friday to you.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate it. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us on.
Let's dive right into it, Max. I first off want to ask you, how did you get into the world of sports gambling? And was there a bit of forecasting on your part knowing that sports betting was approaching legalization here in the United States?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been a sports bettor most of my life. It's something I'm truly passionate about and something I love to do. And being originally from New Jersey, spearheaded some of the legislation and the hopeful repeal of PASPA for in 2015, 2016, and 2017. And finally, towards the end of 2017, we had a good understanding that the Supreme Court would likely rule in our favor. Former Governor Christie did an excellent job, in my opinion, of pushing through some legislation and actually getting PASPA repealed, which is a boon for the industry. It's a boon for sports betting. It's a boon for nearly anything tangentially associated with sports, whether it's the leagues, the teams, the arenas, venues, and most importantly, just everyone on the street that will now be able to bet on sports, right? So it's something that we've seen in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and New York and a number of different states. But thankfully, Michigan, it was kind of towards the twilight hours of getting a bill passed, and I'm thankful that it was able to go through. But to answer your question, that's I've been involved in sports betting for quite some time, and it's really exciting for me seeing some of these new states come online and some of these states to start realize some of the potential from giving people opportunities to wager on things they enjoy, but also generating some tax revenue that goes to a number of different sources that funds schools, first responders, a number of different funds that are key to social services.
Yeah, without a doubt. And talking about that tax, Max, the tax after winnings would be 8.4% here in Michigan, and the tax on online gaming would range between 20% and 28%. And also, you know, you mentioned that revenue will go into school aid funds and also a fund actually for first responders battling cancer. I'm curious, how have other states with legalized sports gambling systems in place gone about legislating these specifics?
That's more of, that gets very political in most states. It depends on, more times than not, just given where lottery revenue historically has gone, it's definitely been earmarked for education or a form of education or something involved with school and education. So it's really each state kind of takes their own flavor and digests it a little bit differently. This is something that the governor in each state has some control over. And it's also a function of different lobbying groups getting a tap on the shoulder and wanting to enjoy some of the tax revenue as well. So it really varies significantly. Thankfully, it's not too much of an issue or an obstacle for policymakers or casino owners and operators to manage. But it really is just filling up the coffers a bit more with something that's incremental to casino gaming and gaming nonetheless. So it is, in some respects, found money because they're in the process of combating and potentially eliminating the black market. So they're generating revenue that was not there previous.
Definitely. And you know, we're looking at this, and I know it's still in its infancy when it comes to multiple states who have decided to go this route. But do you see this as a significant boost to respective economies in these states, or a slight boost?
I would say a slight boost. I wouldn't want to conjecture that it is something that's going to materially change the tide in the state fiscally. If you look at the numbers that are actually coming through versus what a state budget is, does it move the needle? Maybe. It depends who you ask. But more often than that, it's if the policy that is actually approved and the legislation is appropriate and the regulation is appropriate, if you can include online sports betting as well as online casino gaming, that's really where you start to see that needle flicker a little bit more and start to move over to the right versus you just have retail sports betting. The tax revenue and the implications for the state are not nearly what all these industry experts would expect. However, if you do have everyone able to wager off their mobile device wherever they are in the confines of the state, or by blackjack or table games or slots on their phone as well, that significantly changes the dynamic, which it would more than likely move the needle quite a bit more than otherwise.
All right, I want to shift gears here, Max. You know, my mom, she has a saying, you know, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way to do it. And people have been finding ways to place bets on sports regardless of its legalization for years. You know, we had the conversation of bookies here on Current Sports last month. Do you think that this will significantly impact people who have never placed a bet on sports before? And will there be an uptick and what we've already seen in other states, I should say?
I would say yes. I think there's a dichotomy of different types of players. There's sports bettors. We talk about sports betting for a second. It's more of, you have people obviously that are wagering in Michigan right now through offshore bookmakers or legal bookmakers or whomever they're wagering with. They may continue to play with those players, but the security and the safety of betting on a regulated sports betting operator, guaranteed payment, you're guaranteed some integrity from that side of it that's regulated by the Michigan Gaming Control Board. There's a lot of advantages to wagering with a regulated market. Typically, the products are a little bit stronger. You look at what FanDuel or DraftKings or a number of these casino sports betting operators in these other states, the products are very compelling. They're fun to play with. You can bet on nearly anything you can imagine that really makes it interesting for the consumers. Now, the other side of that token, I think that's how you attract new novice sports bettors that don't necessarily haven't had exposure to sports betting per se, but they will have the opportunity to wager something for large stakes or even for smaller stakes where it's $5, $10 here, $20 there, betting on their favorite play, or if they want to place a futures bet on whether or not the Spartans will win the NCAA tournament, or they want to wager that the Lions will somehow beat Tampa Bay. There's a number of different ways that you can engage some of the novice players. So to answer your question, I think it's twofold. I think there's people that will never leave the black market or the offshore bookmakers, but there's definitely some that will. And I think anyone that starts to see some of the advertising that comes out from these casino operators and sports betting operators, there will definitely be an acknowledgement and much more awareness that sports betting is actually permitted in the confines of the state. So I think you'll see two sides of it versus it being black and white. I think it's more of it's a very fluid situation.
Definitely. Max Bixel of gambling.com. And you know, I'm curious about this layer of things as well, Max. I mean, in what way, if at all, do you think this can or will impact, you know, sports in terms of ticket sales, viewership? Because, you know, I've constantly pondered, you know, what it would be like to be at a game and you're there in person watching that game, and then you whip out your smartphone and decide to place a bet. Do you think this will have any impact on the way people view games at arenas? Will we see an uptick in ticket sales, or will time tell that answer?
Yeah, I think it's something. I mean, there's been some talk of it this week. The NFL came out and spoke about the impact it's had. They didn't really give specific figures, but yeah, certainly you have, for example, in Philadelphia right now, there's their complex of stadiums, Wells Fargo, Citizens Bank, and the Link. They have sports betting lounges within the stadium. So I do think it's something that is important, not only to promote awareness, but also give people the opportunity to sit in their seat and wager on a game play-by-play, drive-by-drive, inning-by-inning, period-by-period in hockey. So I do think it's something that's very important. And you start to see some of these sponsorships that are publicly announced in states like New Jersey. Unibet, the large sports betting and casino mobile operator based out of Europe, is now in the U.S., making considerable strides, doing deals with the Jets and a number of other teams as well. So I think you'll start to see that as well. So it really is. It promotes an experience for the fan if they want to wager on maybe not necessarily the final outcome of the game, or they just want to wager on whether or not Eli Manning will start and how many touchdowns he'll throw and who will play the next game. And there's the markets that are available to be wagered upon are innumerable. There's new markets being made constantly. So I think that really adds to the component to allow the fans to be much more engaged than they maybe traditionally were. Even if they were betting on sports, they were mostly just wagering on the total or who's going to win the game or who's going to cover the spread. Now it's a much more minute-by-minute, second-by-second sports betting market, which I think promotes a lot more engagement from the fans. And the leagues and the teams, I think, will begin to start reaping some of the benefits of that.
Yeah, certainly. I can definitely see that coming down the pike as well. All right, Max, last question for you. What do you say to any listeners or anybody out there who thinks that this can open the door for some kind of, I don't know, corruption or puts our sporting culture in a dark place here in America, those who criticize this move? What do you say to those critics?
Yeah, if anything, legalizing sports betting promotes much more integrity. It brings things into the light. There's governing bodies. There's gaming control boards in each state that are monitoring this. You're bringing over sportsbook operators and sportsbook suppliers that have hundreds of people watching these games, monitoring live line movement, monitoring players, looking for these. It's something that they've been able to combat in Europe for decades that has really been successful. So I think if anything, legalizing sports betting promotes a much more level playing field of match fixing or game fixing or tampering with players. It's because if you take a state that doesn't have sports betting legislation, that all of that can happen now, and it can either can still be some corruption, whether it's with players or teams or leagues. But now with legalized sports betting, because the money is going through a regulated process and there's the opportunity to shed some light on that entire process, it will, in my opinion, only promote a more level playing field and give our sports and our leagues and really our country much more integrity to understand exactly what's happening, where money's going, and allow us to combat some of this. Whereas before, you can combat it, but you're handcuffed to an extent, just given how the rules and the regulations are written. Now it's a much more open market where you're able to identify this. There's a number of integrity associations that have been formed over the past year and a half or so that are comprised of industry experts and past regulators that really understand how corruption could potentially work and how some of a sports betting match could be taken advantage of. So that's really something that I welcome that conversation, mostly because I think it's just flat out incorrect. I think we do have an opportunity to regulating sports betting properly can really combat the black market, the offshore market, and really alleviate a lot of these fears of corruption.
Max Bixel, Gambling.com's Group VP of U.S. Business in New York City. Max, how can our listeners out there follow what you guys do at Gambling.com?
Sure. So we have a couple of news outlets, one Gambling.com, but one specific to sports betting is Bookies.com, where you can find a bunch of great content about the college bowl betting season, for example, and league to league, learn about which sports books might be right for you and give you the opportunity to see some of our industry experts post some of their best bets or their picks for the week. Some of our journalists are very successful sports bettors, so go to bookies.com and check out everything we have available for novice sports bettors, expert sports bettors, and really just a place for you to learn more about what's going on in the leagues and the industry or otherwise.
All right, Max, thank you so much for spreading that knowledge to myself and our listeners out there. We got to get you back on, all right?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Max Bixel of Gambling.com. I tell you what, man, the sporting culture is changing. This is a game changer here in the state of Michigan, and in my opinion, long overdue. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will chat with the man, the myth, the legend, Ron DeLeon of Ron DeLeon Promotions, the local fight promoter here in the Greater Lansing area. You are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports.
Charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Oh, man, that's one of the most famous lines in cinematic history. Samuel L. Jackson alongside John Travolta in one of Quentin Tarantino's biggest and best films, Pulp Fiction. I just love that movie. I've watched it so many times. There's a reason why we played that coming back from this final break. That's because as I lay my vengeance upon thee is the title of tomorrow night's MMA fighting event downtown Lansing at the Lansing Center, put on by Ron DeLeon and Ron DeLeon Promotions. That's right. Tomorrow night, at the Lansing Center at 8 p.m. Doors will open at 7 p.m. You will be able to catch some great fights that are scheduled. I mean, you got like Latavius Harris taking on Jimmy Torres, Freddy Rodriguez taking on Jeff Bauman, John Croke and Mike Walker will also go at it, James Blue and Tristan Canada. I mean, a lot of fights out there. For those who don't follow the local fighting scene, you're saying, Al, who in the world are those brothers? Well, if you don't know them, you should know them. And if you haven't been to a Ron DeLeon fighting event, then make your way to the Lansing Center. And we're actually having some trouble getting Ron on the show right now. His day job is a local bus driver. He's been doing that for years, and we're trying to fit him in, but right now he is driving the bus, and he texts me saying, Al, I will have maybe just a few minutes when you call me at 150, and Alec Rio, behind the glass, engineer of Today's Current Sports, has been trying him, but we have not gotten in touch with Ron just yet. So he may not close out the hour of Current Sports, but if we don't get him on, I want to let you guys know about that event. And, you know, I promised Ron that we will have him on to promote that. General admission tickets will be $25 in advance of the $30 day of the show. So if you buy it right now, I guess the tickets are still $25. But the day of tomorrow, if you buy tickets tomorrow, the tickets will be $30. And cage side seats, I don't know if those are filled up already, but I'm looking here on the flyer, and cage side seats will be $40. I will be in attendance for that event. I'm looking forward to checking out some local fight action tomorrow night at the Lansing Center. And if you do go, hey, stop by and say hello if you see me. All right, I'm looking forward to that. So no Ron still, Alec? Okay. You know what? I want to go to Facebook right now and just piggyback on a few of you who have decided to weigh in during this hour of Current Sports. But I tell you what, you know, looking at looking at just this new sporting world that we are venturing into in terms of fan engagement as it relates to sports betting and sports gambling is quite interesting. Because there are many out there who never thought that we would get to this point. And I have no problem with it. You know, when I was talking with Max Bixel just now of gambling.com, you know, I always think about that saying that my mom had growing up. If you really want to do something, you'll find a way to do it. And people who have been living in this state who dabble in sports gambling have been finding a way to do it for years. So when you look at that, why not, as the state of Michigan, or any state for that matter, why not regulate it in your state and find a way to pump that moolah back into your own economy? And I think other states are realizing that we could use this to our benefit, so let's make this move. And Michigan is going to become the 20th state to authorize sports wagers. And again, the fifth to allow casino-style games to be played online. And that is money, as I mentioned when in talking with Max, that is money that will be taxed 8.4% after winnings. And online gaming, that tax will range between 20 and 28%. That moolah will go to great causes. The school aid fund, and also a fund for first responders battling cancer. That's awesome stuff. I see no problem whatsoever with that. And, you know, just how much is going to change your engagement with sports, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's why I asked the question to Max. I mean, will we see a significant uptick here? Have we seen a significant uptick in states who have already allowed this? Not big. A minor bump, but that's about it. So we'll see what happens. Oh, we do have Ron. Ron DeLeon has called in at the buzzer. We literally only have, 2 minutes left here in the hour. So I just want to go to Ron right now. He's driving. He's on the clock. So Ron DeLeon of Ron DeLeon Promotions. Ron, thank you so much. Tell the listeners in like a minute about tomorrow night's fantastic event coming to the Lansing Center.
First of all, thank you for getting me on. I had to pull the bus over to do so. I've got a whole 30 seconds. It's the Capital City Cage Fight at the Lansing Center. Doors open at 7 p.m. The fight starts at 8 p.m. We have 10 fights, 5 championship fights. Come for the great fights. Come for the food and beer. Come for the Ronco girls. But most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, come for our special guest ring announcer, Mr. Al Martin, directly from Hollywood. Al, I appreciate you, my brother. I'm looking forward to working with you tomorrow night, my friend.
You got it. And the event will – you know, you told me a famous story about my predecessor, Earl Robinson, who you know, he came to you and said that, hey, man, are you going to start on time? And since then, all your events start relatively close to the start time, tomorrow night it being 8 p.m. You're really big on that, right, Ron?
I'm really big on that, man. I respect people's time. As I became an old man, I value time, and I respect everyone else's time. So trying to everybody get there early. We're starting right at 8 o'clock. We have 10 fights. Five of them are five-round championship fights. So we're not trying to be out there till midnight, but looking to go like from 8 p.m. to like 11, 15. So it'll be right, try to be right on point. So like
awesome.
I said, I appreciate your time, Al. And I appreciate you leaving Hollywood for the night to come join us. It's going to be a great night of action. Five championship fights, 10 fight totals. Tickets are available at El Daco's restaurant, Mexico to Go, or by calling the 214-0929 number. We'll have plenty of seats available at the door, but it's going to be a great night at the Lansing Center tomorrow night.
Ron DeLeon at the buzzer clutch. Ron, I'll see you tomorrow night, all right?
Let me drive these students. They got to go now. I'm blessed. Thank you, my friend.
You got
Bye-bye.
It. Oh, Ron is great. We got him in. Thank you to Alec Rio, who worked tirelessly behind the glass to get Ron on. Outstanding work. Alec Rio, you are the real MVP of this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. And as always, be easy, people.